for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. This is the 12th Annual Deliverance Conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is Thursday morning, October the 25th, 2007. Jerry McGee is the speaker of this service, teaching on clearing the land.
So let's go ahead and get started. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I pray that out of my innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Because Lord, I come to drink the water you give me. Father, I thank you and praise you that you said the mouth of the upright will deliver them. The tongue of the wise brings healing. So Father, I pray for healing today. I pray for deliverance, and Lord, unless you anoint this message, it's just a bunch of words. So Lord, I ask you by the power of your Holy Spirit to take human words and make them be able to say more than they could humanly say. Take human ears and allow them to hear more than they could humanly hear. Let these lips speak more than they could humanly speak. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you for the blood of Jesus. I thank you for covering us with your precious blood. Father, we pray today that the eyes of our understanding will be enlightened, that we'll know what is the hope of our calling, what is the height, width, length, and depth of your love toward us that was manifested in Christ Jesus. Father, thank you that you have raised us to sit with you in heavenly places far above principalities and powers. Thank you that you've given us the keys to the kingdom of heaven, that whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And Father, I loose ears to hear. I loose eyes to see. I loose hearts to understand so that we can turn and be healed. I loose from us dullness. I loose from us every lying spirit that would keep us from the truth that makes us free. Father, we praise you and bless you that you are the answer. You are our answer. You're our King, our God, our Lord. And Father, we just commit this time to you. Thank you for your holy presence. And Lord, we take our seat in the heavenly places. We take the keys you've given us to the kingdom of heaven and to bind and loose. And we bind you, Satan, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, wicked spirits in heavenly places. We bind you in the heavenly places. And on this earth, we forbid you to work with, communicate with, make contact with anyone on this earth or in the heavenly places to work divination against us. We declare that no weapon formed against us or Lake Hamilton Bible Camp or any person here, any ministry represented here, no weapon will prosper against us in Jesus' name. Father, we just bind every spirit that would not confess Jesus Christ as Lord, and we loose holy angels into this meeting, whatever kind of angel we need. And Father, we thank you and praise you that you said that wholesome words are like honey, enjoyable and healing. And so, Father, we pray for wholesome words today in Jesus' name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Well, I've been asked to teach on clearing the land, and that sounds like kind of not a boring subject. It's not boring, but we've heard it. We've all heard it so long that it doesn't seem like anything that we don't already know. But the Lord's given me some insights into how to heal relationships. And basically, I want to call this message the spiritual garden of your heart. Did you know that you are a spiritual garden? Did you know that? The Bible says that the vineyard of the Lord of hosts, it says in Isaiah 5, the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel. And today I really want to talk about the law of sowing and reaping and how to clear the land. You know, in the Old Testament, the children of Israel, when they came out of Egypt, they had a physical land to possess. And we as believers have a spiritual land to possess. And we've got things growing in our land that doesn't look good. Thank God he doesn't show us everything at once or we couldn't take it. Could you take it? One issue, one big issue is bad enough. But, you know, clearing the land is a part of the sanctification process. Most people, because repentance is not taught in the church, Most people have a problem and they go berserk, they throw a fit, they think it's the turkey they're living with. Instead of dealing with spiritual roots to diseases or spiritual roots to why I'm going through what I'm going through. If I'm married, 99% of the time, because of unresolved childhood issues, I'm living with my mother or my dad. The things that bother me now are the same things that bothered me as a child that I didn't deal with when I was a child. You see, God says to parents, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. Train up a child in the way he should not go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. So what happens down here in our childhood that we do not resolve is causing us problems in the present. And God will show you those problems, and he'll allow there to be a turkey in your face to show you what he wants to heal next. And so that's how you know what God is wanting to deal with. Now, 1 Corinthians 3:9 says you're a building, you're a house, and you're a field. In Mark 4, Matthew 13, and Luke 8, it says you're soil. It gives the parable of the sower, where the sower goes out and he sows some seed and some falls beside the road. And then some is sown on hard ground and some is sown among thorns. But then it talks about that good sandy loam that produces a crop 30, 60, and 100 fold. Now, when the sower goes out to sow, the Bible says he's sowing the Word of God. Some seed fall beside the road, and then the birds come and steal the seed. That represents a person that hears the Word, and he doesn't get it, or he doesn't believe it, and it just the enemy of his soul, Satan, and it explains this in the same parable, Satan steals the Word. And there Satan is likened to the birds of the air that steal the Word. The second type of soil, and you're one of these four types of soil. The second type of soil is the soil that's sowed on hard ground. Have you ever planted, I've just thrown out seeds on hard ground, wildflower seeds. And I see wildflowers growing all down I-20 and not on my farm. And my family used to get so tickled at me because I'd say, I planted those delphiniums. Oh, sure, Mom. Not any growing on the land, just throwing them out. But when you sow seed on hard ground, even if it comes up, if you've ever had a garden, it's a little strangly root. And the minute the sun hits it, it goes, chirp. And then you go out there and you water it and it perks up. And then the next day you go out and it's wilted again. And then you water it and it perks up. And if you don't do that every day, when the sun hits it, it'll be dead when you go out there the next day. But if you go out there and dig around it, make the soil, soil, dig up the soil, take the roots and rocks out, and give it some more soil that has a depth of root, and then it'll grow and produce a beautiful plant. And that represents a person with a hard heart. Because there's no depth of soil, the minute a circumstance hits, he falls away because he can't take it. And then he represents a person that receives the Word of God with joy, but the minute a circumstance hits, it says in Luke 8, the Word persecutes him. He's walking along and he's having a happy day singing, "Oh, how I love Jesus." And then somebody rains on his parade. And the Word of God says, if you don't forgive, you will not be forgiven. Well, the Word persecutes me because I want to hold unforgiveness. And you see, because of the hardness of heart, I don't forgive and I'll fall away, because Jesus said, if you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. The third type of soil represents a person that lets the worries, cares, pleasures, and the desire for other things to choke out the Word of God. And then the fourth soil is a person that tends his garden. The scripture says, break up the fallow ground. It's time to seek the Lord. What means is, a fallow ground is ground that's laid waste and become hard. And God tells us to break up the hardness of our heart. And there's a scripture in Matthew, and I couldn't find it, but it says that on that day the righteous shall shine forth like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Well, break up the fallow ground means make the land shine. And see, this ties in with walking on the highway of holiness last night. In these days we're living in, if we don't walk the highway of holiness, we have no protection. It says no unclean person can get on there, no fool, and no unclean person can walk there, and no lion, which represents Satan, can be on this highway of holiness. You know, when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, they lost their light covering, they lost their glory, and then Jesus came to restore the glory, and we've heard Clement Humbard teach on the glory. But when Jesus came back to restore that glory in our lives. And the more we repent, the more our land shines. Because Jesus says, walk in the light as He is in the light. Is that what He said? And you'll have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus will cleanse you from all sin. He said, He is the light of the world. And then He told the disciples, you're the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify my Father who's in heaven. And it says, for a lamp is made to put on a lampstand and to shine and not to be put under a peck measure. You see, when we don't deal with our sin, we put our light under a peck measure. The Bible says that we are to walk as children of light. One of the ways God's going to protect us in these days is as we walk the highway of holiness. The Bible says the highway of the upright is to depart from evil, right? The Scripture says the righteousness of the blameless will smooth their way. The integrity of the upright will guide them, the Bible says. The path of the righteous is just, and the path of the upright is a highway, and as we depart from evil, we're on that highway. But you see, as we deal with sin, it makes the lamp shine brighter. We're changed from glory to glory. Matthew 6 says, the lamp of the body is the eye, and if the eye is clear, the whole body is full of light. Is that what the Word says? That means if the eye is unadulterated. But it says if the eye is bad, which means toilsome, toiling after our idols, the whole body is full of darkness. Well, one way God's going to protect us is if you ever looked in a bright light, you can't see what's behind it, can you? The light blinds the eyes of the enemy. Is that right? The glory of the Lord is our rear guard. You know, when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, they followed the glory cloud, but all the Egyptians could see was the darkness. It says that when they came out. So as we walk in the light, we're protected. But when we clear the land and we deal with our sin, it causes our land to shine. The righteous will shine forth like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. And when it says break up the fallow ground, it means cause your field to shine. Go, if you will, to Hosea chapter 10. Hosea chapter 10, verse 12 says, so with a view to righteousness. In other words, in your spiritual garden, you want to plant seeds that are going to produce a righteous plant. Is that correct? If God says so with a view to righteousness, it means that everything I do, say, think, attitude, I'm constantly sowing, right? I'm either sowing good or evil. Is that right? And every thought, word, deed, attitude is sowing. Either sowing good or evil. So it tells me to sow with a view to righteousness. In other words, let the seeds that come out of my mouth, let my attitudes, my actions, and my deeds be such that it produces righteous things. And then it says, reap in accordance with kindness. Sow with a view to righteousness and reap in accordance with kindness. In other words, there's going to be a good reaping. It says, break up your fallow ground. It means to make your land shine. For it's time to seek the Lord until He comes to rain righteousness on you. It says, you've plowed wickedness and you've reaped injustice. Now, I want you to go back up to verse 11, and I want you to see it about Ephraim. Ephraim is another word for Israel. And it says, and Ephraim is a trained heifer that loves to thresh. Now that word thresh in the Hebrew means he likes to tap his garden harder. You know, the Bible says today when you hear my voice, don't harden your heart. Is that right? But Ephraim likes to thresh, means instead of plowing up his ground, he tramps it down and makes it harder. Now, anytime I say yes to God, I am making my heart soft, tender, and pliable. Is that correct? Anytime I say no to God, I'm hardening my heart. Is that correct? And the word, delight yourself in the Lord, and you will have the desires of your heart. Delight means to make your heart soft and pliable. When you do that, the Bible says you'll have the desires of your heart. But Ephraim, another word for Israel, another word for the church, is a trained heifer that loves to thresh, loves to tramp his garden harder. But he says, I'm going to come over her, Ephraim's fair neck with a yoke. So there's a yoke for Ephraim. And can I tell you, it's the yoke of iron in Deuteronomy 28 that says if you don't obey the voice of the Lord and His commandments, that He's gonna cause you to serve your enemies in hunger and thirst and nakedness, and He'll put an iron yoke on your neck until you're destroyed. And so it says, Ephraim, he loves to thresh, but he says, but Judah will plow. Now, Judah's another word for praise, is that right? So as we praise God, and you know what? You really can't praise God until you take accountability for your sin. You know, I know people that are never wrong, never take accountability for their sin. It's always somebody else's fault. And so God wants us to take accountability. He says, break up the fallow ground. Now it says, and Jacob will harrow, means he levels the clods. He breaks up the clods. So those are types and shadows of people that are dealing with their sin, but Ephraim won't deal with his sin. He makes his heart harder. And so God tells us to break up the fallow ground. In Isaiah chapter 5, it says, the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel. In Proverbs, it says, he who sows righteousness gets a true reward. Okay, whatever you do, think, your actions, your deeds, your attitudes, your words, you're sowing into your spiritual garden. And sowing comes in through the sins of the forefathers. Anything they didn't deal with sowed things in your spiritual garden. What happened to you in the womb, if it was negative or positive, was sowing things in your spiritual garden. Whatever you have done in your lifetime is sowing seeds in your spiritual garden. Good or evil, depending on if it's a good thing or a bad thing. Every sin that's been committed against you that you did not take to the cross and deal with God's way has sown seeds in your spiritual garden. And so what we're going through now basically is a rerun of what we didn't overcome as children. You know, we have this land to possess up here, and the land we have to possess is what we didn't possess in childhood. Everybody's got a different set of things we have to possess, depending on how you were trained up. If there's been good things sown in your life that's producing good things, and there's bad things in your life that's sowing bad things. And so you are sowing whatever is done to you, whatever you did, whatever you thought, whatever you've done. The Bible says the deeds of a man's hands will return to him. You know, I know people that say, well, you know, I did a lot of things before I was saved. Can I tell you that everything that's happened to you generationally in the womb that you've done since you've been born and that has been done against you that you have not taken to the cross is producing something in your life, either good or evil. Something is growing in your spiritual garden that's either good or it's evil. And so so there's a sowing in your spiritual garden. Hosea 8 says, sow to the wind and reap a whirlwind. Job 4:8 says, if you plow iniquity and sow trouble, you will harvest it. Proverbs says, he who sows righteousness, Proverbs 11:18, He who sows righteousness gets a true reward. Proverbs 22:8 says, you sow iniquity and you'll reap vanity. 2 Corinthians 9:6 is talking about giving financially, but can I tell you it also applies other ways when it says, you sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. You sow bountifully and you'll reap bountifully. Example, you plant a grain of corn, you get a stalk of corn with bunches of ears of corn with hundreds of kernels of corn. You get more than you plant, later than you plant, and the same thing you plant. If you give goodness, goodness comes back. You give evil, evil comes back. The scripture that Dr. Noll used was that if you return evil for good, evil will not return from your house. So that could be some of the reasons why we're going through some of the things we've gone through. Either our forefathers returned evil for good. You know, I know people right now that are struggling, and God says you can pound a fool in a mortar with a pestle and crush him like grain, but if he's a fool, his folly will not depart from him. You see, that's a picture of Ephraim that makes his heart harder. And I tell you, if you don't deal with your sin, it will have serious repercussions in your physical body. And I've discovered that when I have a physical problem, if it's an arm problem, I do a word study on my arm. If I have a back problem, I'll do a word study on my back and repent over all the scriptures, whether I think I did it or not. I remember once when I was pastoring a church, I got a crick in my back, and I kept thinking, you know, it's going to work out. Got people to anoint me with oil, and it didn't leave. And all week long, the crick was there. And so before I was to preach this Sunday, I got on the computer. I pulled up all the scriptures on back, and there's about 300 of them. Repented over them, broke generational curses. And before that, when I was prayed for in church and anointed with oil, this little voice said, you're not healed. And I wasn't. And so then I did. I waited for it to work out. It didn't. And then I did. Then after I did the word study, I was dressing for church, and I heard, you're healed. I still had a problem in my back, but my spirit man went, yes, I knew it. You see, if you think you're healed, and this little voice says you're not healed, you're not. That means there's something else you need to look for, another layer, like peeling an onion. But the time I got to church, my back was healed. But you know what? I knew it was healed even when I still had, I mean, I wasn't even conscious of it. I knew. The Bible says when your conscience is clear, you have confidence before God. So if you're trying to believe God for a healing, and I've got some few little physical things, and I'm telling you, I don't have the, my spirit man's not going, yes, you're healed. And you know what that tells me? There's another layer of sin, something I'm not seeing or something I'm not doing that God has yet to show me. And so whenever your conscience is clear, you will know that you know that you know that you know. I mean, it's a gift. It's a gift of faith. You know, sometimes the prosperity teachers are telling you to muster up enough faith. You just don't have enough faith. You just got to muster it up. You can't muster it up because this little voice says, it ain't going to work. But when you're truly, your conscience is truly clear, your spirit man will rise up and you can't doubt it even if your leg's broke. It's not broke. I mean, you have the faith to believe. And so that's what I do when I have a physical thing and there's things that I'm looking for that I don't see in the Word yet. But I know it's there because every problem you and I have is found right here in this Word. When you line up with the Word of God, healing and deliverance comes. James 4:7 says, submit yourself as unto the Lord, and number two, resist the devil and he'll flee. And so it's been my experience that he sent his word to heal me, not folks. And I'm walking out some things that's kind of scary. But I'm going to walk them out regardless by God's grace, and that's not a vow, by God's grace. Amen. And so you're sowing in your spiritual garden whatever has been done to you, whatever you've done. And as I started to share a while ago, people think because they got saved, they don't have to deal with generational stuff or they don't have to deal with what they've done. I had a lady at one of my meetings, and I've shared this before, and some of you have heard this. She said, pray for my daughter. She said, she's fixing to marry a Hindu. And I said, well, have you ever done anything like that? And she went, no. Oh, yes. She said, when I was going to the University of Mexico City, and I was in love with a bullfighter. And she said, and I was going to marry him and chunk America and chunk my mother and dad. So I told her I'd put her on the prayer list. I went back, called it later and forgot the girl's name, called the hostess of this meeting and said, what was so-and-so's daughter's name? And she said, you don't have to put her on the prayer list. Said, the girl's already repented. You see, what the mother did, she was reaping through the daughter. Honor your father and mother that all may be well with you and your days will be long upon the earth. I had another man call me from Pennsylvania. He said, my daughter, she lies. She steals, she lies, she's on drugs, she's sleeping around. I said, have you ever done anything like that? And he said, oh my gosh, she's just like me. You see, we're waiting, some of us are waiting for our kids to change when God is trying to show you that kid is doing exactly what you did and you sowed it and now you're reaping it through your kid. Do you see what I'm trying to say? So if you've got problem children, you need to go back and start dealing with what you've done in your life, and God lets that child mirror what you did. Everything you don't like about him is what you did or your forefathers did if it didn't apply. And it could also apply, I had a lady say, well, you know, I never did any of those things. My daughter's this, but I never did any of those things. But she said her daddy did. I said, well, you judged her daddy. Judge not lest you be judged. Is that what the word says? And the world says what goes around comes around. Now, your spiritual garden has got good things in it and bad things in it. Right? Thank God. God doesn't let you look at everything at once. He just, His Holy Spirit will put the finger on what He's wanting to deal with next. And those things may represent depression, stubbornness, sadness, double-mindedness, temper tantrums, revenge, fear, gluttony, pride, perversion, anger, violence, murder, spiritual harlotry, adultery, witchcraft, rebellion, cursing. I want to say spiritual harlotry. If you pray a prayer to receive Jesus as your Savior and Lord, you're going to be the bride of Christ. And if your heart goes after other lovers, you are a spiritual adulterer, a spiritual harlot. So there's physical adultery, but there's also spiritual adultery. Now, if there's corn growing in your garden, you know there was a corn seed planted. Is that right? If perversion's in your garden, you know that it has a seed that's been planted in you generationally or in the womb. Maybe you were conceived in a rape. Maybe your mother and father were perverted. Maybe you were molested. Maybe you looked at your daddy's pornography or your mother's pornography. So you know there was a seed planted in your garden. If there's fear or terror in your garden, you know something happened to you, either generationally, your forefathers were fearful, something happened to them, maybe you received fear in the womb, maybe something has happened to you in your lifetime that's made you fearful. Another thing that makes you fearful, if your mother and father are not living under the Lordship of Jesus, which is dwelling in the secret place of the Most High God, you're just born outside of God's refuge. You know, if you grew up with an alcoholic parent, they're kind of checked out emotionally. Is that right? They just don't get it. And you may be married to somebody that doesn't drink, but they're checked out emotionally. You grew up grieving because your daddy didn't hear you because he was drunk. And now maybe you're married and you just think, you know, my mate don't get it. You see how that relates? Whatever you cannot stand about your mate, 99% of the time is what you judged your mother and father for. You promised you would never marry anyone like your mother or father. You promised you would never be like them. Can I tell you, when you judge your mother or father, you either are like them yourself or you'll marry someone like them. And if God's grace has caused you to miss that, it'll work out in your children. And so God is teaching me to look at the fruit and trace it to the root. Whatever the fruit is, it means that same kind of seed was planted either generationally in the womb, something you've done, something you've sown, a judgment you've made on your mother and father, or something that's happened to you that you have not taken to the cross. And when I say take it to the cross, I mean to say I forgive, I break soul ties, Lord, forgive me for dishonoring my mother and father, or whatever the Lord shows you. Die into it, taking it to the cross, taking it up the mountain like Abraham took up Isaac. If there's anger growing in your spiritual garden, as well as fear and bitterness, you can trace that. It's rooted in idolatry. The Bible says rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and all iniquity is as idolatry. Is that right? And Lord, we just bind every spirit asleep. We bind every spirit that would try to take the Word of God from us in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Where did I say go? Oh, Deuteronomy 28. Numbers, Deuteronomy. The Lord gave me some more revelation from this. I was attacked a couple of nights ago, and I really was innocent. I know you always hear that. I was innocent. I was accused of things that I worked at not doing. And you know, if somebody accuses me of something that I'm guilty of, I can say, oh, please forgive me. It's easy for me to say. In fact, sometimes it's too easy for me to say I'm sorry. But when you accuse me of something that I work hard at not doing, it kind of irritated me. The word wasn't even irritated. The word was, I just can't believe this. You know, people accuse you of what they do. The person that accused me is a hot-tempered person, and the Bible says they stir strife. And they said, you just want to fight. And I thought, I said, the only reason I called you was to make an appeal to you that I want a relationship with you, and have I done anything to offend you? And it was like throwing water in a fan. But you know what God showed me through that? There has to be some root as to why that bothered me. It shouldn't bother me. And God showed me here in Deuteronomy 32, and I want to show you this. Revelation, Deuteronomy 32, talks about Jezreel, which is another word for Israel. He grew fat, means his heart became callous and hard. He hardened his heart to the place where he couldn't hear God. And it says that they worshiped false gods in verse 16. Verse 17, they sacrificed to demons who were not God, to gods who came lately. And then you see the repercussions of that in verse 20. God turns them over. He says, then he said in verse 20, I'll hide my face from them. I'll see what their end shall be. Now, these are God's people. For they're a perverse generation, sons in whom is no faithfulness. They've made me jealous with their strange gods. They provoke me to anger with their idols. So, now I want you to see the progression of the fruit of idolatry. So, I will make them jealous. Circle that. You see, jealousy is the fruit of idolatry. The Bible says rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and all iniquity is as idolatry. So all sin is idolatry. Is that right? Okay, it says, then I'm going to provoke them to anger. You see that anger is the fruit of idolatry? If there's anger growing in my spiritual garden, as Chris says, there's a hot wire. From that idol, from the anger, there is linked to a hot wire, a button pusher. You say, well, I'm really not an angry person, but I can just feel it going. I can just feel it rising, but I wouldn't dare let you see it. You see it still. Did you know frustration is a form of anger? I didn't know that till I attended the Bill Gothard Anger Resolution Seminar. I'm not an angry person, but I can get frustrated. And so, right. And so you see that idolatry is, anger is rooted in idolatry. If I don't lay down that idol by laying down my life, giving up my life, Jesus said, that I might find it, if I don't lay it down, there that expectation, there's anger there. It's idolatry. And then in verse 23, misfortunes, I'm going to heap misfortunes on them because of their idols. And then I'm going to waste them by famine, which means hunger. In King James says hunger. Consume them by plague, so you see the root of sickness and disease. Consume sounds kind of like getting eaten, like cancer, doesn't it? And bitter destruction, and the teeth of beasts I'll send upon them. Put 1 Peter 5:8 there that says, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, means drink down, gulp down, and swallow up. Now in Genesis chapter 3, remember when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, and then God began to rebuke the serpent, and he said, "You're going to crawl on your belly and eat dust." Is that what God told Satan? Then he turns to Adam when he rebuked Adam, and he said, "Adam, you're dust." So what he was saying was, Adam, every time, now this represents being in the dwelling, walk in the highway of holiness, the path of righteousness, dwelling in the secret place of the Most High God. But what he was saying is, Adam, every time you step out here in the flesh and get out from under my covering, I command the serpent to bite you. You see, out here is dwelling in the secret place of the Most High God, walking on the highway of holiness. The path of the highway of the upright is to depart from evil. The path of the righteous is just. But when I get outside of God's law, God's not saying devil sick him. When I get out here, guess what? I have chosen by an act of my own will out here in the flesh, and I'm out here in Satan's territory, and that's why God says, "Be sober, be alert, for your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." Did you know you can be in the belly of demons and Satan, and you also can have them in you? Does the Bible say in Jeremiah 51, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, which represents Satan, has swallowed me like a monster and he's filled his belly with my delicacies? "Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, drink down, gulp down, and swallow up." This is a picture of soberness, and this is a picture of drunkenness out here. Can I tell you, there's movements of drunkenness going around. It's not a blessing, it's a curse. God says to be sober. The scripture says in Proverbs 22:8, "If you sow iniquity, you'll reap vanity." Proverbs says, "The deeds of a man's hands will return to him." Galatians 5:7 says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, this he will also reap." Luke 6:38 says, "By your standard of measure, it's measured back to you." Matthew 7:1 says, "Judge not lest you be judged. By your standard of measure, it'll be measured back to you." Jeremiah 4:3 says, "Break up the fallow ground, do not sow among thorns." And then it tells you to circumcise your heart, which is a picture of getting your heart right with God. And so there's, well, let's go back to Deuteronomy. I didn't finish reading. I didn't show you the thing God just showed me about Deuteronomy. It says, he commands, and he'll say, "The teeth of beasts," that represents you being out in the flesh, because Jezreel means to produce from the flesh, so your heart gets so hard you can't hear God. It says, "They'll be wasted by famine or hunger." And then verse 25, "Outside the sword shall bereave, and inside terror." So you see, terror is a stronger word than fear. It means to be overcome by fear. Do you see that fear is rooted in idolatry? Terror is rooted in idolatry. It says, and then verse 28, it says, "For they are a nation lacking in counsel, and there's no understanding in them." Do you see that idolatry causes you to lose your understanding? Understanding is the truth that makes me free. Proverbs 15:32 says that when I receive God's discipline, I gain understanding. Proverbs says, "Forsake your folly," which is the opposite of understanding, "and live and proceed in the way of understanding." So we lose our understanding because of idols. We're blinded by them. How one could chase a thousand, two could chase 10,000 if they were wise. And then it talks about in verse 31, and this is what I want you to see. "Indeed, their rock is not like our rock. Even our enemies themselves judge this." And what I was saying, that it bothered me when this person falsely accused me, and they called back and they apologized, and I didn't get in the flesh with this person. All I did while they were raging at me was to say, "You know, the only reason I called was to make an appeal. I want a relationship with you. And I want to know, did I do anything to cause you to be so cold?" You know, when you talk to somebody, maybe a family member, and you say, "How are you doing today?" They say, "Fine." "Well, did you have a good day?" "Yeah." You know, you have to be pretty stupid to know that, hey, there's a problem when you're hitting a wall like that. So after I've dealt with my logs, I thought I had all my logs. After I dealt with my logs, then I had freedom of speech. You know when it says, 1 John 3:21 says, if your conscience is clear, you have confidence before God. That not only means faith and trust in God, but it means freedom of speech. You see, you notice when somebody gets on my nerves and I just can't talk to them, I got a log. When I know that when their speck is getting on my last nerve, I got a log. Let me say that again. When somebody's getting on your last nerve, God's trying to show you a log in your eye, because then you deal with your log and their speck usually just rolls out of their eye. Or you have freedom of speech to say, hey, let me help you with that speck. You have the freedom of speech to do that. Okay, keep reading. It says, indeed, their rock is not like our rock. You see, this right here, this angry man is... Well, let me finish reading this. It says, for their vine is from the vine of Sodom and from the fields of Gomorrah, and their grapes are grapes of poison, which is bitterness. Okay, what I want you to see, it says, this person that's angry, this anger is connected to a hot wire that's connected to an idol. When I'm walking in the Spirit, my life is producing love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. I'm walking in the Spirit. Is that correct? But you see, and that's having the true vine, right? Wherever I have an issue, I'm producing from the flesh, according to Galatians 5:19. Wherever you have an idol, with that idol, you'll be producing from the flesh wherever you have an idol. When you get rid of the idol, you'll be able to respond out of the Holy Spirit. Okay? And then here's what I want you to see. It says, for their vine is from the vine of Sodom because of the idolatry. Indeed, their rock is not like our rock. Even our enemies themselves judge this. And that's what I want you to see. You see, any place I get my button pushed, I'm not connected to the true vine. You see that? And this is what I want you to see. What I shared with somebody, I said, you know, isn't it amazing? You know, it's an Antichrist spirit speaking through this person. Isn't it amazing? The devil knows exactly what to say to push your button. Why? Because you're connected to the vine of Sodom and your enemies themselves judge this. Hello? So I'm saying, okay, Lord, why was I treated with such disrespect? The Lord said, well, you didn't respect your mother and daddy. Well, why does it bother me that this person is so ungrateful? The Lord said, you weren't grateful to your mother and father. You see, that bothered me because my conscience was not clear. Even though in this conversation, I don't, honestly, before God, I didn't operate out of the flesh. But you see, I've learned to look. If the enemy is attacking me in an area, God says, if your ways please the Lord, it makes even your enemies to be at peace with you. Hallelujah. So I've learned to say, okay, Lord, what did I do? So praise the Lord. Okay? So that's rooted in idolatry. So is fear. So is bitterness. Read on here. It says in verse 30, for the Lord will vindicate His people and have compassion on His servants when He sees that their strength is gone. What is that saying? When you lay down your idol, God has compassion on you and you're delivered. You know, no, I don't care how much deliverance you get or who prays for you. If you're connected to an idol, it won't go away. It may stay temporarily. Like, for example, you can go shoo off a bunch of buzzards, and the minute the shooer walks away, the buzzards come back. You got to bury the carcass, and you do that through repentance. Okay? It says God will have compassion on you when He sees your strength is gone and there is none remaining, bond or free, and He will say, where are their gods? The rock in which they sought? Who ate the fat of their sacrifices and drank the wine of their libation? That wine makes you drunk, by the way. If you do a word study on wine, drunk, drunken, sober, you'll see that there's a cup of the wine of God's wrath He gives to the harlot to make her drink that makes her drunk. Okay, and then verse 39, see now that I am He, and there's no God besides me. It is I who is put to death and give life, and I have wounded, and it is I who heal. Can you see that woundedness, if you say, you know, I just wounded about that, or I'm just wounded. You know what you're saying? I am just a person full of false gods. I'm just a person full of idols. You see, woundedness are button pushers. Wherever you get your parade rained on, wherever you get your button pushed, can I tell you that's rooted in a wound that came in when you turned to a false god instead of God. How do you do that? Well, as little children, we don't know we can go to God. But the law of God is written on our hearts. Is that right? Is that what the Word says? God says, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So if a parent doesn't train me up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, he provokes me to anger, and I'm automatically have an issue. That's where it comes in. As a little child, because parents model for me a picture of what God's like, I don't know I can go to God. In fact, I don't even know if I'm being abused, if I'm being neglected, if I don't have enough food, if I'm not taken care of, I don't have anything to compare that to. But because the law of God is written on my heart, unconsciously, I make a promise to myself that when I grow up, life's going to be different. Would you agree that if that little child didn't turn to God, but turned to a promise he made himself, he turned to a false god? And button pushers are the thing that God uses to reveal to you the idol you need to dismantle. Y'all hearing me? And so you should live in such a way that you never get your button pushed. The Bible says a hot-tempered man abounds in transgressions. An angry man must bear the penalty. And of course, you know what happened to Saul. He let the sun go down in his anger. He tried to kill David. You just see the progression of demonization. He went out and killed himself. It ended in suicide. Okay, so that's rooted in idolatry. Oh, Lord, let this work. Uh-oh. That's what happens when you don't deal with it. Pride, rooted in idolatry. Satan's king over the son of pride. Depression. That means there's been seeds planted in that person's life that's producing depression. Depression is rooted in idolatry. You know, I get depressed. You know, I went to this values thing and they took off. I was feeling pretty good, like I was overcoming, you know, rejecting myself and feeling pretty good about myself. And they took all these pictures. So I took them off my camera onto the computer. And day before yesterday, I mean, when I got home, I mean, I wasn't just like go to the bed depressed, but I thought, you know, girl, you need to lose weight. And that can depress you. You see, that's rooted in I have this image of what I think I ought to look like, and I look in that picture and I don't look like I think I ought to look like. You know, I get depressed when I look at my circumstances and they don't go the way I think they ought to go. I had a girl call me a few days ago and she said, I'm just depressed. I said, that just tells me you were depressed as a child, weren't you? She said, oh, yes. I said, your issues are rooted in unresolved issues you have with your own mother and father, where you turn to false gods instead of turning to the true and living God. Because when I turn to the true God, He fixes me. I turn to a promise I make myself, and I stay bound. And wherever I have an idol, I have anger, I get my button pushed. And you know, I can be an explosive person that's just having a happy day and you push their button and it's like, rawr! But if you're like I used to be, you know, you know you don't allow anger to show, and so you stuff it, and then after about 6 months, you nailing boards over your mouth and you blow everything out. But praise God, He's delivered me from that. But a person that couldn't show how they feel growing up, they're stuffers. And it's going to come out somewhere, and it'll usually come out in pain. But you know you have a wounded spirit if you're a person that blows up, or if you can just feel this thing coming up here to your throat, and your throat hurts like you want to cry. You know what I'm talking about. That's a wounded spirit. And wherever there's a wound, there's an idol that will manifest in anger and rebellion and witchcraft and fear, bitterness. And then when you don't deal with the things in your garden, they'll choke the life out of you. God tells you to tend your vineyard. And this is probably a picture of perfection, and we know that we will never get to that state until we enter heaven. You see, this is the land that I have to possess, and God doesn't show me all the giants at one time. Now, if I have a tongue problem, the Bible says a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perversion in it is a breach in the spirit. So I want to explain the breaches to you. Your spirit, your soul, and your body. Your body houses your spirit and your... see if I can get this to work here. Oh, goodness. I pushed the wrong button. How do I get out of this, y'all? Ralph. Oh, Lord. Let me see what it says. Oh, I'm getting too good at this. Now, what do you push? Where is select? Do you know? Is that the middle one? Oh, Lord. Does anybody know how to get out of this? Help! Does anybody? I don't know. Oh, hallelujah. Mojo, Curly, and Larry right up here in one. Rolled into one. That's when I used to watch television. Yeah. Yes. Yes, I break the curse. I hope this is the one. This, your body houses your soul, which is this represents here, and your soul houses your spirit. Your soul is your personality. This is your mind, your will, your emotions, your heart, and your conscience right here. Your personality is developed by the negative and positive things that happen in your lifetime. If positive things happen, then that adds something positive to your personality. If it's negative things that you haven't taken to the cross, it has a negative effect on your personality, which is your soul. There's breaches here in your heart. We're born with breaches, or places where our forefathers did not go to God, and so that comes down as a generational curse. Because of the things we've done, the things that have happened in the womb, the things that have happened to us, and our sin that we've not taken to the cross causes there to be a breach in the soul. And in these areas, we're vulnerable to attack by the enemy, because here we're connected to the vine of Sodom. Because we didn't go to God, we turned to something else. And let me see if I can get this over here. Your soul is the land that has to be possessed. This is what has to be possessed. And this is determined by how your mother and father grew up and how your forefathers dealt with their sin and what happened to you and what you did from the time you've been born. It's the land that you have to possess, and you have a different land to possess than I do. Because how you were trained up, if it was good or evil, is what you've got to overcome that you didn't overcome as a child. It's where you have to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. This is the place that, where you're in need of sanctification. Hebrews 12 says, without holiness, no man will see the Lord. It's the place where you react out of your flesh. It's the place where you are connected to the vine of Sodom, because you didn't go to God. You turned to something else, or you didn't turn to nothing. And if you don't turn to nothing in your sin, you still turned, to idolatry, because rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and all iniquity is as idolatry. This is the place where you react. Here you will react out of the flesh, and here you will react out of the Holy Spirit. So you know when you get your button pushed here, there's something that you need to deal with. Do you know that God does not want you to live your life getting your button pushed all the time? Those button pushers are to show you what you need to deal with next. This is the place in these breaches where you're touchy, you're sensitive, you're hurt. These are the logs in your eyes. This is where Paul said that when he didn't want to sin, he did. And when he said, because it's sin in my members. Here's the sin in your members. This is a place where it's the source of evil thoughts. I just showed you the picture of the tongue where it says, the wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perversion in it is a breach in the spirit. Because why? Because what's in your heart here, your soul is your mind, will, emotions, heart, and your conscience. What's in your soul here, comes. What's in your heart comes out of your mouth. Is that right? what's in the heart, Matthew 15 says that evil thoughts proceed from the heart. James says that when you're tempted to lust, it's not God tempting you, but you're tempted by the lust that's down in your heart. Is that right? And so the source of your evil thoughts and your evil words come here out of the heart. The Bible says that the tongue, about your tongue, if you can control your tongue, you can control your whole body. Why is that? If I can't control my tongue, there means there's something here, right? But when you can't control the tongue, but you can get your heart purified, because when your heart gets purified, your words will get purified. And it's a process. It doesn't happen overnight. Okay, and so what's in the heart comes out the mouth. And then this is the source of lust. And I forgot to do this one little one. Let me back up here. There's the lust. You know, it was a seed planted. And generationally, if you were conceived in lust, it could be because maybe you're an illegitimate child. So anything I don't deal with at the cross, I really am turning to. Now, let me, before I go on with that, this is the scriptures on sanctification. Romans 6:19 says, I'm speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For as you presented your members as slaves of impurity and to lawlessness, resulting in lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. Romans 6:22, but now having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit, resulting in sanctification and the outcome eternal life. 1 Corinthians 1:30, by His doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from above, and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. I don't know. I think it says above. It may say something else, but it means that. 1 Thessalonians 4:3, for this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality. You know, Dr. Noel was talking about adultery in the church. Can I tell you, it's amazing how many single people think nothing of shacking up. 60% of church members think nothing of sexual sin. There's something wrong with that picture. You know why? Because repentance is not taught in the church. And you, after you're fully trained, you become like your teacher. If you're sitting under adultery and your pastor is in adultery, a spirit of adultery is coming out over the church, because Jesus said, after a man is fully trained, he becomes like his teacher. So you better make sure your teacher is being taught by the teacher and as repentant as they know how to be. 1 Thessalonians 4:4, that each of you know how to possess your own vessel in sanctification and honor. 1 Thessalonians 4:7, for God has not called us for the purpose of impurity, but in sanctification. 2 Thessalonians 2:13, but we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith and truth. Hebrews 12:14, pursue peace with all men and the sanctification without which no man will see God. It says in Hebrews, without holiness, no man will see God. Okay? Because I didn't turn to God in my sin or what was committed against me or breaking generational curses through taking accountability, I turned to a promise, which is a vow, which is a false god. And each of those false gods are connected to the vine of Sodom. And remember, God says, it is I who've wounded. Because wherever there's an idol, you have a wound. Wherever there is a breach in your spirit, you'll speak perverse words, you'll think perverse thoughts. In all these areas, you'll have anger or frustration. All these places, your conscience is not clear. You don't have faith in these areas because your conscience is not clear. In these areas where you've turned to false gods, there's fear, there's hunger, there's pestilence, there's plague. There's sickness, there's disease, there's terror, there's fear. Terror is a stronger word than fear. There's bitterness, you lose your understanding. That's why it takes the truth to make me free. Now, what you need to know is God doesn't show me all this at once. I couldn't take it. But somebody will push my button. Then I need to trace it back to the root. Where did this happen? Or maybe it's a sin. Maybe I don't have my button pushed. Maybe I'm dealing with lust. then I got to go back generationally and deal with all the seeds. There could be 1,000 different things planted with lust. Every time you have sex outside of marriage, you get the demons of whoever you have sex with. You get the diseases of whoever you have sex with because you're bound to a soul tie. All of these areas, I have a soul tie with whoever I sinned with or who sinned against me. If I don't deal with that, see, those judgments I make are not dealing with that sin sets in motion forces that cause me to begin to reap, and if I don't deal with it, eventually it'll work out in my body in sickness. So if I'm sick, I need to start, it's like peeling an onion. I need to, if I've got heart trouble, I need to get up, pull up all the scriptures on heart, read all the scriptures on heart. There's about 800 scriptures on heart. There's a fat heart, a heart trained in greed. You know what? All of us have heart trouble. And eyes are tied in with the heart. I've done word studies on eyes, and the last three times I went to the eye doctor, my eyes were better. He weakened the prescription. And then I got sidetracked and looked on another. I had other things to, word studies to do. But I did all the scriptures on dim, light, darkness, eyes, see. But then I was going to do the heart because the heart is tied in with your eyes. You know, with my eyes, I can judge. With my eyes, I can lust. With my eyes, I can show pity. Because the eyes are the windows of the soul. And so if I don't deal with it, it'll work out. And you see, let me back this up a little bit. Say, this starts when, say, mother and daddy abandoned me. And I judge them. And so that sets in motion for me to be abandoned. And I'm trying to forgive this turkey out here, the last one that did it, and I forgot all these others. And you see, this is the doorway. Mother and daddy abandoned me. If mother and daddy hadn't abandoned me, I wouldn't even feel the pain of abandonment. You know, I could get over it really quick. You know, Jesus said, forgive from the heart. How many of you have tried to forgive? You said all the right words, but it won't go away. You know what I'm saying? I had a disagreement with a girl, and she said she was sorry, and I said I was sorry. And the next day, I was still arguing with her in my head. I should have said this when she said that. I can't believe she had such a sharp tongue. I can't believe next time she says this, I'm going to say that. Finally, I said, Lord, she said she was sorry. And I said I was sorry. Why can't I get over this? And the Lord said, she's just like your mother. You've got some unresolved issues with your mother. She's pushing your mother buttons. I said, Lord, I don't know what to forgive my mother for. The Lord said, forgive your mother for everything you can't stand about her. So I said, I forgive my mother for this, and I had a good mother. And she should have killed me, but she didn't. Anyway, I said, Lord, I forgive my mother for this. I forgive my mother for that. I forgive my mother for that. I forgive my mother for that. And it totally left. So if you try to forgive and you choose to and it won't go away, it means that in my case, there was a mother issue here. And so then when I forgave her, it went away. Now, there's other times people will say, well, Jerry, would you forgive me for such and such? And I'll say, for what? Well, a few days ago, I said this or I said that. I didn't pay attention to it. You see, it's not a hard issue. If you can quickly forgive, it's not a heart issue. But if you try to forgive and it just won't go away, God said, Jesus said in Matthew 18, you got to forgive from the heart. So mother and daddy issues are heart issues. If you don't deal with it, then it'll work out in sickness in your body or pain. Ecclesiastes says if you have pain, you know, you have physical pain, mental pain, emotional pain, sexual pain, physical pain, Ecclesiastes says remove vexation from your heart and put pain out of your body. Vexation means grief, hurt feelings, idolatry, provocation, anger, grief. And can I tell you, there's some things, some physical things that I have, you know, I don't want to confess what I have, but it's nothing serious. But it caused me pain. It's caused me pain, yet I felt no pain. Do you know what I'm saying? Well, I'll just tell you. I'm believing the Lord to heal a skin cancer on my nose. And y'all agree with me. It has to leave in Jesus' name. It will not grow. It will not spread. It will not eat my nose off in Jesus' name. Those are some of the lies the devil tells me. So just agree with me. I don't feel any pain with that skin cancer. But can I tell you that there's breaches here? And I think it probably part of it when he talked about your nose flaring. Yes. And forgive me for doing it, Lord. My mother, I probably did it more than she did. I know where this started is I had a farm and I was trying to help people that were wounded and perverted and drug addicted and you have this farm and you put a sprinkler system in and they cut it with a lawnmower or somebody gives you a brand new tiller and they don't put any oil in it or they give you a vacuum cleaner and somebody vacuums up the dirt. And you don't say it, but you want to say, stupid! That's where it came in. And I still, I think now with all the things that are happening in this world that's so crazy and so insane, I have to forgive people before I go to bed at night. I mean, all of the politicians that are being sold out by foreign governments to sell America, and they're doing it, done it. And it may be too late, but you know what? I'm going to walk the highway of holiness. That's the safe place, regardless. Amen. God's going to take care of us. He is a refuge and strength. Psalms 37 says, even in famine, He keeps us alive. Blessings are on the head of the righteous. Praise the Lord. If my ways please the Lord, it makes even my enemies to be at peace with me. I know God is pleased with me, Psalms 41:10 says, when my enemy does not shout triumph over me. A curse without cause cannot lie. Hallelujah. And so pain is rooted in vexation. There's people that feel pain all over and they go to the doctor and he'll say, I can't find the source of this. That's pain in the emotions. Goes back to childhood issues that we're not dealing with. Bill Gothard says, what you don't deal with in childhood, the God's way will torment you in adulthood. And see, that's the land that you have to possess. And so, it'll work out with cancer, bitterness, in all these areas where I'm hurt. If I don't deal with them, eventually they'll work out and manifest in my body. But as I begin to deal with my sin, God begins to heal the breaches. Now, this is a picture of a person that won't deal with his... He's a slugger. Go to Proverbs 24, verse 30. I passed by the field of the sluggard and by the vineyard of the man lacking sense. And behold, it was completely overgrown with thistles. Its surface was covered with nettles and its stone wall was broken down. When I saw, I reflected upon it and I looked and received instruction. A little sleep, not much, just a little. A little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. Then your poverty will come as a robber and your want like an armed man. I know I have a breach in my spirit, in my soul, when I get my button pushed, or when I'm angry, or when I'm fearful, or when I'm depressed, or when I just can't believe people are acting the way they're acting. Now, wherever I have a breach, I have a soul tie, and if you could see like angels and demons see, you'd see a soul tie is a connection in the spirit. You can be connected like a thread, like a string, like a rope, like a cable, depending on the sin that you committed with the person that you have a soul tie with. Every violation of the Word of God with another person that's not dealt with at the cross opens you up to a soul tie. And so if you can see like angels and demons see, you can see that soul ties are connected in the Spirit. You can have soul ties with hundreds and thousands and millions of people. And that's one way that you're scattered in according to the curse. It says in Deuteronomy that rebellion against God's voice and His commandments causes me to be scattered among all the nations of the earth. Now, the world calls scattered today, they called it multiple personality disorder or dissociative identity disorder, but all of us have had the problem, and of course, DID all of that stuff. I mean, that's where we extreme have been diagnosed as that. But all of us, in varying degrees, have been scattered through soul ties. And Jesus said, if you're not gathering with me, you're scattering. And the whole word is deliverance. And so deliverance causes me to get gathered and gathered and gathered. and that's a process. Now, when somebody is mirroring something, there's a turkey in your face, he's just showing you a picture of yourself. Hello? Whatever you're judging someone else for, you're looking at yourself in the mirror. This person that attacked me last night, they're a person that's hot-tempered. Every little thing makes them angry. An angry man stirs strife, but yet, have you noticed how they'll accuse you of the very same thing they do? They do. So whenever somebody's mirroring, that mirror is to show you what you've long forgotten. If you're having a problem with your mate, that mirror is showing you an area where you judge your mother and father. Honor your mother and father that all may be well with you. Either you've judged your mother and father or you've done it. Not like that one. If it looks like a dog, it is. We need a turkey here. And that's a picture of Psalms 91. And whenever you have a hole, you have a breach. And those places where the enemy has permission, the scripture we read in Deuteronomy 32, the enemy himself knows where you've got a vine of Sodom. It says the enemy himself knows this. Habakkuk said, Lord, why do you allow the wicked to do this? Then he says, your eyes are too pure to approve evil. Why do you allow this? If a man's ways please the Lord, it makes even his enemies. So wherever you have a breach, you've got something else growing in your spiritual garden. And what happens is the enemy eats your fruitfulness, destroys the fruit in your spiritual garden. Okay, stand up. I'm sure y'all have got some areas where you get your button pushed, so let's just go from there. Let's deal with your button pushers, and then you deal with all of them today, and then next week you'll have another one, and you'll remember to ask the Holy Spirit. Lord, I thank you that you sanctified me. When you died on the cross, you positionally brought sanctification to my life. But you said I'm to work out my salvation with fear and trembling. Lord, I ask you to show me all the places where I get my button pushed. And show me the seeds that were planted through my judgments of my parents. Their judgments on their parents are me dishonoring my mother and father. Are me reaping what I've sown. Lord, I want the land clear. So you see how you clear the land? It's step by step. And God uses the button pushers to show you what needs to get cleared off next. So Lord, I ask for the truth. That makes me free. Lord, in Jesus' name, show me what was planted in my life that's causing this bad fruit. See, when God pulls up a bad plant, He plants a good one. Hallelujah. So, Lord, I ask you to uproot what needs to go next. Thank you, Lord, for the truth that makes me free. And if you'll deal with your sin and then just sit down, then we'll do deliverance and then we'll have lunch. Lord, I forgive my mother and father. And I forgive my forefathers. Forgive me for dishonoring my mother and father. Lord, forgive me for operating out of the flesh. Forgive me for idolatry. Being connected to the vine of Sodom. I want to say wherever I'm operating out of the Holy Spirit, I'm connected to the vine, the true vine. Wherever I'm operating out of the flesh, I'm connected to the vine of Sodom, which is the works of the flesh in Galatians 5:19. You know, I can tell you Jesus is Lord of my life. And no, I'm going to say this. Jesus is Lord of my life. I don't know of any area I haven't submitted to God, but He don't show me everything at once. He can look down at me and say, you know, I need to show her some other things like He's going to do. And wherever I have an idol, I'm connected to the vine of Sodom, even though my life is yielded to the Lord Jesus. Does that make sense? And thank you for see, if the enemy didn't attack you, you wouldn't even know you had a problem, would you? So, Lord, I thank you that if my ways please you, it makes even my enemies to be at peace with me. God, I didn't know as a little child that I could turn to you because the law of God was written on my heart. And I thought my mother and dad were just like you. I didn't go to you in my pain. I turned to promises I made myself that when I grow up, life's going to be different. And Lord, we heard in the last session how vows are idolatry and how God says don't make vows. And Lord, I've just made unconscious vows and verbal vows and unconscious vows that I've long forgotten. And because I didn't turn to you, I turned to false gods. So I ask you to forgive me. You said, Lord, you'll have compassion on me when I lay down that idol. And Lord, just like Abraham took Isaac up the mountain, I take all my expectations up the mountain. And Lord, in Jesus' name, I give them all to you. If I need these idols, I don't need an idol, but if I need these things, give them back. If I don't need them, never let me have them. If it'll bring you greater glory and honor for me to continue on in a miserable circumstance, then so be it. Thank you, Lord, that you're using my relatives. Moab is my washbowl. Thank you for using my relatives and people to clean me up. And Lord, if that's the only way you can do it, then don't ever change nothing. But devil, you can't touch me because I'm in God's hands. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Lord, I break soul ties with my mother and dad. In the name of Jesus, I break soul ties with every person you've shown me that I've sinned with or sinned against. Lord, I call back everything of mine that got on them. And I send back everything of theirs that got on me. In Jesus' name, I exchange their image for the image of Christ. I ask you to remove every imprint of any person that I have sinned with or who sinned against me. I forgive every person that you've shown me. And Lord, I turn from the idolatry and I ask you to heal my wound. In Jesus' name, I remove vexation from my heart and I put pain out of my body. Hallelujah! Praise you, Lord! Praise you, Lord! Praise you, Lord! We bless you, mighty God. You are enthroned in our praises. Hallelujah! I come against hurt, bitterness, anger, fear, destruction, terror. I command you to go. All woundedness has to go. All pain, emotional pain, physical pain, mental pain, sexual pain, physical pain has to go in Jesus' name. I forgive every person that has rode me piggyback. I forgive every person that has put their burdens on me in Jesus' name. Praise you, mighty God. Praise you, mighty God. All fear and terror has to go. All hunger has to go. All lust. All anger has to go. All pride, all stubbornness has to go in Jesus' name. I break your power. Praise you, Lord. Resentment, bitterness, hostility, you have to go in Jesus' name. All spirits that have blocked the truth that sets me free. Hallelujah, Lord. Bless the Lord. Praise you, Lord. You know why deliverance is so easy? You've repented of your sin. Lord, fill me with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. And Lord, we bless this food. Lord, we thank you that we live in America. We thank you for the freedom that we enjoy today. God, we ask for mercy. Don't give us what we deserve. God, in Jesus' name, we ask you to bless every person in the kitchen. We ask you to bless this camp, bless the finances. Lord, bless their going in. And Lord, all your people, bless their going in, bless their coming out. Bless them in the city, bless them in the country, bless the food in Jesus' name. Lord, we ask you to bless Glenn. We ask you to heal his throat in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you so much. Bless the Lord.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.